Chapter 2, in which Bomber waits. Bomber was not at the mountain on the day of burning. Sometimes he regrets that fact fiercely. He heard of it right away, of course, when his brother and cousin came flying to him for aid, and he let them into his little flat quickly, smelling the smoke on their hair and clothes, and seeing the wildness in their eyes. Beaufort wept that night, silently, and Beaufort closed up on himself like an animal in a shell, and Bomber could not imagine what they had seen. More than houses had burned that night. Young Frerin was lost, and with him, it seemed, all the hopes and dreams of the people of the mountain had gone up in the smoke of that night. Thorn came to him that night as well, though the sky was beginning to lighten by the time his knock was heard. He was wild and raging, but kept his head long enough to work out a plan. Bomber was already a respected member of his party, with clear chances at making MP before long. It would not do for him to be tainted by their association, not when they would need every political weapon they could muster against Smaug. If he had known what was to come, he would have walked out of his flat with his family the next morning and never looked back. That first year was not so bad. They kept in regular contact, and Glowin was avoiding the spotlight as well, so there was companionship even in solitude. Beaufort came round far more often than was wise, and they had to find a pub where they could meet with some sort of anonymity, hidden in the smoky depths. They were all frightened, scattered and running from the law. Bomber's career continued to move forward, and, most of the time, he could pretend nothing had changed, so long as he never tried to go home. Then Feely came, tiny and defenseless, and Bomber watched them shift around him, closing ranks against the world. If some of the fury and recklessness bled away from Thorn, then it was replaced in the rest with a startlingly violent sort of protectiveness. They sent pictures, and occasionally he was able to creep away to some remote corner of the country to find where they were hiding in some cheap flat, and spend time with the whole family. But he went home to an empty flat, and a phone that only rang for business. Bomber ate. He slept, and he worked, and he shook the hands of countless people, and he collected every scrap of information that he could find about Smaug. He sent money and gifts to Beaufort and Beaufort as often as he could, and let his fingers stray to crisps and biscuits and pastries when he was alone. Keeley came, scarce 3 years after the burning, and the ranks closed tighter. Thorn smiled now, sometimes, and dismothered them all. Bomber showed up to visit 3 months after the little boy came along, bringing shoes that were already too small. They embraced him anyway, warm and solid, and he marveled over Feely's ability to walk and talk, and commiserated with poor Ori, whose dreams of going to uni seemed to be fading farther with every passing year. He had never thought it would take so long to find their justice. There was a fight, a battle, more like, 2 years later, and Bomber was 2 years fatter and more important, and could not go. Beaufort came to him, after, and how many months had it been, then, since he had seen his own brother, and told him in a hushed voice that their cousin was doing very badly. His head had been nearly split, and they couldn't take him to hospital, not with the tension so high, not with Smaug on their trail all the time. Bomber offered to let Beaufort stay for a few days and regain his balance, but Beaufort needed him more. And he left with a firm embrace and a promise to come by more often. It was 6 months before they spoke again. Bomber became an MP the next year, and felt like he might burst with pride. Glowin came round and had a drink or six in celebration. But he had a wife and baby son to go home to, and couldn't stay out too late. Bomber attended political functions and dinners and parties, and ate until he did not feel so empty. Dis passed away, and Feely and Keely were snatched up by well-meaning social workers who grew concerned about their tattered clothes and unkempt hair, and Bomber knew Thorn was doing his best, but wondered whether it was enough. He did what he could, though, using his influence to get information about where the wee lads had been placed and sending it to Thorn. It took too long, and he knew it. What good was any of it if he couldn't act when he was needed? He grew in stature politically, gaining friends and influence. Sometimes he forgot his old childhood name entirely, until a note would appear on his desk in Thorin's hand, or Bofur would find his way by. Bofur never spoke to him again, in any words he could understand, though Bofur knew his meaning before he spoke. His brother seemed well, for all the running, and his face lit up when he spoke of the children. Keely finally talking properly, and incessantly, Feely copying every move Thorin made. Bomber didn't tell him that they were strangers. He tried to have a life outside of them, filling his schedule, and found meaning in doing the best he could for his constituents. Thorin promised solemnly, every time they spoke, that the day was coming, that they would bring down Smaug and have their homes again. Bomber read the papers carefully for any mention of the Sons of Durin, wincing as their notoriety grew. He wondered how they would ever go home. It was Gandalf who finally pulled things together, almost 20 years since the burning. Gandalf who stirred Thorin to action, who found them their crafty, entirely unsuspicious little burglar and promised that he would be the key. He was. Bomber played his role, taking the steps that he'd been waiting to take for 2 decades, and finally it all clicked into place, igniting a firestorm of accusations and investigations, and bringing Smaug to his knees. They celebrated him even as they went to prison, cheering him and joking about the hardships that had given him so many chins. He laughed, of course, jolly old Bomber, always good for a laugh, and promised to be waiting the day they were set free again. Feely and Keely clung to Bilbo, and Glowin to his family, and Bomber went back to work. Back to waiting. He shakes hands now, and eats fancy dinners and passes laws, and on weekends he goes up to Beinhirn and lies in the grass, staring up at the sky of his childhood, and wonders how it had all gone so wrong. Once, he finds an old tin cup down by the stream where he and Bofur had played as children, their initials still carved in the handle. Bomber wishes that he had been there on the day their homes burned. But Bomber is an adult, and a very capable politician, so he bundles the cup into his pack and wanders back down to his car and back into the city, to his empty flat where the phone never rings but for work. And Bomber does his job. Bomber waits.
Take my chances.